This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4. Usual Suspects, 2 in the books, 1 to go. Plenty more show. Lots of great tweets coming in, including one, Barry, I know you'll appreciate, as Angel Munoz has said. Joel, can you bring John Granato on for some insight on what the Asian market means to the Rockets? It's fantastic.
That's love that tweet.
By the way, I was told Cadillac Grill is a Mexican food restaurant, so I still my initial changing name to the Houston Tortillas is valid.
Tyler said that, but we'll let it go. I know.
Yeah, I didn't know the Cadillac Grill was Mexican food. I've been there once, but I don't remember what the hell I ate. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, I've been there a couple times. Okay. Their buffet on their buffet in the on weekends is great. So I'm looking at some of these things. Lamont had a great suggestion, but I don't think he has enough money. He could be a minority owner, but Rusty Harden, because then you at least got a legal counsel that's legal that can actually make sure that you never have any of your players in trouble.
Say what again?
Lamont suggested Rusty Harden to buy the Rockets. Oh. And I'm like, Rusty might not have enough money to buy him on his own, but you make him a minority owner because then you have a legal counsel that's actually legal to practice law in the state of Texas that has gotten so many big-time people out of trouble in Houston that he'll make sure your players are always safe.
I like it. I like it.
I do too.
Yeah, and then
smart business.
That was Lamont that said that, but yep. He also said that Knight comes in, buys them, and moves them to Seattle, and I hate him just for even entertaining that thought.
Yeah,
or putting it out there in the air. We don't need that juju down here. Don't put that curse on us,
yeah,
Lamont.
That was mean. That was definitely mean-spirited. I got a
hater. We got a recommendation for Wayback Wednesday. You want to hear it?
Sure.
Or no?
Sure.
Okay. I said got a recommendation. Each of you pick 2 songs from each of the big 4 thrash metal bands: Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax.
It's a horrible idea.
Okay.
I mean, I Metallica, Slayer, but the other 2.
I can go
Anthrax. I'm just going Public Enemy with Anthrax.
I can go Metallica, but after that, I would like to do heavy metal bands, but I would not. If you get to pick those 4, then I'm out.
Okay. Not a fan, huh?
You want to go Motley Crue?
No, that's not heavy metal. That's hair metal.
No, whatever. Okay.
It's got to be hair metal.
Okay, Johnny DJ. I'm just trying to participate.
Hey, right. Welcome back to the show.
That's all I'm doing. Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars, okay? Barry, a friend of yours, I pulled the Casey Kasem line. Sorry. A friend of yours and an acquaintance of mine, speaking of Rockets, had a great story that I think is worth mentioning that I know you saw this weekend. And we've had him on the show. But Billy D. Washington, great, great dude. Huge,
oh, yeah.
Huge Houston sports fan, but just a great human being. And like I said, friend of Barry's, we've had him on the show, but he put something on Facebook this weekend and I'm reading the story he's telling and I wasn't quite sure where it was going. But once I read it, I was like, oh my God, talk about something that people should know about for who they're getting. I've always been a Chris Paul fan. And
you ruined it right off the front.
I'm not done, but now you did.
Okay.
And I was going to say that, you know, Chris Paul falls in line with guys that the Rockets have gone out and got, like James Harden, like Tracy McGrady, you know, all those things. And you look around the city of Houston, and it's harder to find. Barry, you mentioned 2 guys the Astros tried to get, but not on that same scale, but it didn't work out. And so, you know, you always look at those kind of things, and you think about, you see them in public, but what kind of guys are they? But Billy D put a story out there this weekend where, and Barry, you can relate to this and kind of give people insight on this, but he was performing at Harrah's Hotel and Casino for the NBA Players Association in New Orleans. There was a headliner. He was in the middle. There was a local comedian that opened. He was hoping to get paid in cash after the show, but the promoter paid him with a check. He had gas money to get back home, but that's it. Not much in terms of funds, tight budget, planned on sleeping in his car that night. Anyway, he said all 3 comedians have great shows. The headliner was selling merchandise. And in retrospect, you know, he's sure that someone would have loaned him a few bucks for food if he had asked, but he was cool with it. He had saved some food from the pre-show reception. And I think this is where people have to realize what Barry does when he's traveling as well is not always, and you mentioned
this is
Barry,
not a glamorous life.
Yeah, it's not 5-star hotels and you know luxury planes and all these different things. It's passion for a craft and going about your business without having to air it out that and asking for help. So Billy D's going through all this. He stood in an empty part of the lobby, and he was trying to sell the 2 or 3 CDs that he had burned on his own computer just to try and make a few bucks, when all of a sudden, one of the younger athletes that he had performed in front of made eye contact with him and walked over. He asked how much for the CD. I told him 10 bucks. He gave me a $100 bill. They talked for a minute. They exchanged compliments. They shook hands. I told him I had to have someone get change for me for the 100, and he said, don't worry about it, and walked away. And he had no idea when he walked away how much that money actually meant to Billy. Today, he posts on Facebook, was the day the Rockets welcomed to town as the newest member of the Houston Rockets, that young man that gave him that $100 bills. And that brought chills to me. I thought, I always thought Chris Paul was a good dude. I thought it was a great move when the Rockets made the move. But to know what kind of a guy he is, and the fact that he did that, didn't want any credit for it, and you hear about a lot of his philanthropic and charitable things that he's done. That story right there was like, man, I want this dude to succeed. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, and dude, Billy, he always has stories like that. It's amazing. I'm telling you, hanging out with this dude as much as I have and going on the road with him and stuff like, I believe that. Because stuff like that happens to him all the time, and you read these stories, and yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool to see that because it does mean a lot, man. When you're a struggling comic and you're trying to move up the ladder, and yeah, dude, that $100 goes a long way for a comic on the road that's all they're doing. So that's pretty cool.
You hear us joke a lot and say radio money and fart around with a lot of different things, but when you realize, look, you guys are out there grinding, and when they say the good things happen to good people, I truly believe that about Billy. I thought that story was amazing, and the fact that from a Houston perspective, we're telling you because you got a good one. Yeah, you know he's a good point guard, but you got a good dude. Because a lot of times you find out after the fact or during, which is even worse, that these guys aren't the greatest guys in the world, even though they're good at what the sport they're playing is. So I thought that was an amazing story. And he asked us to try and get the story to Chris Paul, and I've already gotten in contact with two of my guys over there that are going to let him know. But I just thought that was awesome.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. And you know what, Barry? Now the next time you need a meal, Nick will buy it for you.
I hope so. That'd be great.
I'm still hoping, like, actually.
Right now.
I'm not sure that's going to happen, but I'm hoping. Nick said there's an intern that could possibly be swayed to help you out with food when you come back.
Dude, this place here, and I know we got to go to break in a second, but this place here, like I was sending Nick pictures of like the producer's board and the studios and stuff like that because I know he'd care. But they have a spread out.
You saying I wouldn't care?
Yeah, you wouldn't care about looking at the producer board, would you? Do you want me to send you a picture of the producer board and the 5 TV monitors?
I want to feel included and see the studio and see the warm coziness.
Okay, I'll send you those. But they have like in their break room, which is a really nice break room, they just on the table is just like M&Ms and popcorn and like cookies. And I was like, oh, did somebody drop these off? They're like, no, they put these out every day for us just to snack on throughout the day.
How awesome is that?
What?
Really?
Yeah.
Let's get that memo to the right people.
Yeah.
Let's get those pictures. Barry, get in during the break right now. Run down the hall. Get those pictures. We need to send them to the appropriate folks.
So, orange cheesy poofs.
That's not
they've
me.
They've got
popcorn. Huh? Popcorn's me. You guys can get the poofs.
Yeah. They've got popcorn. They've got M&Ms. They've got peanut and regular M&Ms. Some sort of snack cake looking device that's wrapped, which is the only thing I could eat in here because everyone else would be putting their hands on the rest of the food. Mm-hmm. Some sort of cookies and Twizzlers in a jar.
Oh, and this Twizzlers is just for you to too?
Walk. Yeah, this is just for you to walk by and snack on.
I was just going
to
say, you're okay. You're not. You know, being the germaphobe that you are, you're okay with consuming.
Oh no, I'm not eating any of that. Are you kidding me? It's all. But they do have spoons in the M&Ms.
I'm texting you the picture of this right now.
And this is a guy who's going to be watching movies for the next 7 days. He would have the entire movie snack stand at his beck and call if he just stockpiles it right. And he can't do it because some people might have touched it.
I'll go buy my own. I wouldn't buy it, but they have a box of popcorn in case you don't want to get popcorn out of the bowl. You can just pop your own. Dude, yeah, and then awesome. Cheese doodles. Did you get that picture, Nick?
He's looking.
Yeah,
for
I did.
It.
I did get that picture.
Yeah, all right. It's crazy good.
So we're going to talk more about that, and maybe Barry, you can tweet out some of the great pictures of all the different benefits that you're soaking up that we're not. In the meantime, I want to mention to the masses here in Houston, Texas, that if you are jonesing for some good NBA type basketball with some NBA talent involved in it, just because the Rockets are off doesn't mean that you can't catch it tonight and every Monday and Wednesday night through August. The Fondy Rec Center right on the outskirts of downtown is going to be hopping with hoops. The No Excuses Summer Pro League is in full swing. That's right. The NoExcusesFoundation.net is where you can go to get all the information. But the No Excuses Summer Pro League, featuring Jonathan Simmons, who was with the Spurs, just signed with the Orlando Magic, former Rocket Isaiah Cannon, Pat Beverly, Montrezl Harrell, Bobby Brown, Joe Young that was from U of H that's playing with the Indiana Pacers, and a whole lot more. Lots of talent, but a lot of fun. And the best part of the entire thing is it's free. Two games nightly, Mondays and Wednesday nights. Lots of great talent, good competitive games, and you can bring your friends or the family, and you won't cost yourself a dime with parking or admission. You just go in and watch hoops, and it's great. It's the No Excuses Summer Pro League. Go to NoExcusesFoundation.net for more details. But again, Mondays and Wednesday nights down at Fondy Rec Center. Check it out.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. If you've been sleeping under a rock today in Houston, the big news of the day, the Houston Rockets are for sale. Good news, Mark Berman just tweeting, Tillman Fertitta interested. We could basically say that we didn't break that story, but maybe we did, Barry. I mean,
I don't know.
You brought it up. Maybe. I mean, that was huge.
Well, that was the Lamont thing, but it makes sense. I mean, if you spend any time in this city, yeah, you know that he's one of the big wigs as far as businessmen go. I was trying to think, what are the other big time millionaire, billionaire guys in the city of Houston? What are the big time businessmen that might be involved besides like Mattress Mac? And
yeah, I'm thinking oil and gas.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of oil and gas. The big name, the big money names are, it's old money now. I think it's generational, true. You know, because you had, when you and I were talking about the whole argument about the arena situation, who owned the Compaq Center originally? Or, I mean, when the negotiations got hairy between Les?
I don't remember. I don't know.
Schnitzers? Is that right?
Don't give me lie.
Ken Schnitzer? Does that sound right?
Don't give me lie, but I found this article.
Okay.
So I wanted to see. So I tried to quickly find. This is an article from Channel 30. 12 Houstonians on Forbes list of the richest Americans.
That's what I'm on right now.
Yeah. So Richard Kinder of Kinder Morgan. Mm-hmm. Jeff Bezos, the founder and CEO of Amazon. He's a Houstonian.
Wow.
Is that true?
I don't know, but if it is, Whole Foods becomes the food sponsor, and we're in business, Amazon Prime and everything down the jerseys.
This can't be right. I mean, these aren't Houstonians, right? That doesn't make any sense.
I can't.
All right, let me investigate this.
All right.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right. I don't think that's the case. So this is false news. Fake news
other,
by Channel 13.
Based on the other, they are our official partner in a lot of ways.
Show some respect.
Be careful. Yeah,
I might be looking at it wrong too, though. There may be.
Yeah,
I may
it must
be
have been your
it
fault. It must be operator.
Sure,
because
sure,
it's definitely not Channel
sure.
13. So when we look at this entire situation, though, the good news is that there is enough money, hopefully, in this city that we don't have to venture into some kind of fear factor where we're worried about this team leaving. Some people on Twitter were worried about Chris Paul changing his decision. People, rest assured, as long as that, he doesn't care what name is on that check, as long as that check's going in his pocket. And oh, by the way, hate to mention this, but he hasn't signed an extension, so he's only got 1 year on the deal. But I don't think it's going to factor it, just like we talked about in terms of the Melo pursuit. It's not going to factor in at all when you start talking about what Chris Paul's going to do or not do.
Nope. No, it won't. So you don't have to worry about that.
Right.
I need to tag you and Nick on this spat on Twitter that Jerome had with a few folks. got a little salty and a little heated. I guess between him and Daryl Morey, there'll be some audio that I'll get over to Nick. But basically, Jerome had tweeted out that essentially something you were, you know, talking about too, is the fact that this whole Chris Paul signing was, they were making a big deal out of it.
Yeah, I read Jerome's article, but yeah, in essence, the celebrations he said something in July. Effective.
Yeah, they had a parade for a signing, and the last time they did that was Dwight Howard. And that the last time they've actually had a parade that mattered was, you know, 22 years ago or 23 years ago or 22, I guess, 95 for the championship. Mm-hmm. And he caught some heat from that. And him and Morey, somebody tagged Morey in a chunk of audio from Jerome's show. And, you know, they basically just said, Morey just said, I thought you'd be more creative than giving the rings argument. And he was like, nah, you just came in at the ass end of a conversation. It had nothing to do with that. And basically it's not that big of a deal. I'm just saying, what else are they going to have a parade about? You know, I mean, it's just a one liner. So I like how people love to stir it up, right? Like if I say something about somebody, inevitably a listener is going to go tag that person and be like, hey, this guy said that and that. It's like, just let it happen if it's going to happen.
You mean like Sam,
I mean, if
Decker?
Daryl Morey
like
didn't read
Joel,
it.
I was just going to say, Sam Decker? Just happened to Joel.
Exactly. That's why I don't understand why you talk about Curlo. That dude's the enemy. Forget that dude trying to get you in trouble with Sam Decker. You should never, we should never, he's like Beetlejuice now.
Well, the
you
thing say his is, name is three times. That's what Daryl did to Jerome. Daryl started like sicking Red Nation on him and like tagging Jerome's Twitter handle in responses, trying to get people to like send Jerome hate tweets. That's just so really? Petty and immature.
On both sides, though. I mean, people tagging him and tagging Morey and all that, but yeah.
And here's the other thing. Daryl has enough to worry about with pursuit of Carmelo and others that he doesn't need to be worried about this kind of stuff.
So does Jerome hate Kesha? Because I don't understand the Kesha reference, because Daryl says, poking my head up from free agency to notice Kesha is back. And then somebody's like, oh, don't let that Debbie Downer Solomon know. And actually, Daryl tagged Jerome himself. So in this particular case, I think just as the references from Kesha. Okay, now I see where it escalated, because Daryl says, as long as you don't tag Jerome Solomon, he won't notice. So just having some fun, right?
Yeah.
Then Jerome was like, it's been 22 years, Daryl. Why y'all mad at me? A preview of tonight's Kron TXSN. And then he plays where he talks about the thing. And then it gets heated after that. So, all right. Well, this is a skirmish between them then. I'm a little less upset about that. They're bringing this on themselves.
Oh, they did. And they kept it going.
Hilarious nonetheless.
Yeah. And look, we just got off the worst sports week of the year. It's always nice to have this kind of fodder to go around, you know, to kind of spice it up. But it was, I mean, look, and I supported, I was right with Jerome. Jerome even made the standpoint. There's plenty of people within the Rockets organization that feel that way. And also notice the fact that what stuff that we noticed during the year about the attendance and about the fans and about how they'd like to have the people there on time every night and all these different things. But it's just fodder. It's just discussion because we're in July. But, yeah, it got out of hand in a hurry, and Daryl said some things that I think in retrospect he probably wouldn't want, you know, he wouldn't want completely out on social media, maybe in a DM chat, and hope that Jerome wouldn't put him on blast.
By the way, we got a text that somebody said Joel Osteen would be a fantastic owner.
No.
There's actually a dude that owns renamed a bunch of Toyota dealerships, but I can't remember his name. Texas.
Oh, the guy that owns it's Gulf States Toyota. Yeah, for the entire Southwest region.
I'm sure he's got a little dough.
Possibility that he would have some dough. Yeah, enough dough. Again, we're not talking about like rich for your lifetime money. We're talking about big, big, big time money, like to buy a franchise. When you're talking about what you were talking about, the Clippers went. This isn't just like a multimillionaire. We're talking about like you better have oodles oozing out of everything.
Right.
So we can continue to talk about that and a whole lot more as the show rolls on. Fred and AJ and the Blitz are at 4. We got a half hour still to go of the big show. So Barry from Wichita, Nick and I from Houston, the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects like we normally like to do. We like to give back to you, the suspects that always make us have a lot of fun doing what we do. And with that being said, Manchester Derby tickets for July the 20th as Houston is about to host two of the biggest soccer teams in the world. You can win two tickets to see the first time Man U, which is Manchester United, and Man City from the English Premier League are playing each other outside of England. Fantastic opportunity. If you're a soccer fan at all, you realize how big of a game this is. Man U and Man City playing at NRG Stadium Thursday, July the 20th. The best in the world come to Houston, and these are two of the best in the world. You can get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com, but because we love you folks, we're actually going to give two away right now. So we'll take caller number 13, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. If you're caller 13, you get two tickets to see Man U play Man City. And I am not kidding you. I'm not a soccer fan, and I know how big of a deal that is. So good luck. That's a pretty fantastic package right there.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. It's good luck. You should have done more than 13, though.
It's no Guyana, Barry, but it's
true.
It's soccer.
I mean, they're trying.
Dude, by the way, I saw these pictures. That freaking place that you're—can you just bring that whole place over here?
Whoa, that what?
That freaking place that you're doing the broadcast from? Yeah, I did.
Yeah, he didn't drop the F-bomb.
No, I didn't drop a bomb, but I almost did looking at the pictures.
There was a glitch, I guess, in our connection because it was just on like that. I was like, "Whoa, hey now!" But yeah, that's a legit spread, isn't it?
No kidding. That is pretty sweet. I mean, those studios are pretty top notch. Not to mention all the grub, and of course, people had to make reference of all the non-sanitary things that were going on in those candy dishes. So
now you see why I said that's fancy here. I mean, like, every mic has its own TV monitor. Every mic has its own earphones. There's carpet on the walls because it's so plush and absorbs sound, and this is pretty fancy.
Now, the board, that's the kind of place where you go down the hall and you find a drawer of mic sponges, mic covers that are in plastic wrap so that you never have to worry about germs on your microphone.
That's right. That's right. You don't have to go steal them so that you have your own. That's true. It's pretty nice.
Your good friend is calling on a Bluetooth right now. He wants to get in, and I think he specifically wants to talk to you. Clarence. What's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, man?
Hey, Barry's still out there in Tornado Land?
I am indeed, my friend.
The way you talk about that studio, you sound like you don't want to come back.
Well, I'll say this. I could not live in a city like Wichita. I just couldn't do it. There's just not enough going on for me.
By the way, your wife is here, so you would have to come back.
Well, I mean, I would move her, obviously, Joel.
I'm just saying. Nick and I aren't heartbroken, but come back for your wife.
I could be your replacement, yeah. But anyway.
Barry, come back now.
I heard.
Barry, come back now.
It sounds like he tried to be at the last remote, talking over the mic, getting over Nick's shoulder. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Nick needed a bodyguard for the things that he said, so.
I didn't hear you volunteer when I was there. So now that the show is over, you were saying you were trying to help me out.
Yeah, I volunteered when you was after there all the time watching you.
Nah, he was sitting right next to me, right on that Yeti cooler.
Okay, nice Yeti comfortable cooler. So anyway, why doesn't anyone bring up Bob McNair as a owner? Why does he pull a Tom Benson like Tom Benson did in New Orleans? And he owns both the Pelicans and
Saints. It's a good question. Actually, Clarence, that's a viable suggestion right there. That could work.
What's his net worth? About four bills, I think. I think it's worth about, he's worth about $3 or $4 billion. So he's got the money. Problem is, would that stretch him too thin?
If he's a majority owner and he finds like some minority owners, maybe that'll do it.
Let me tell you something. From Tom Benson's perspective, though, too, what he would do, which is what I could see other owners doing, more of is he utilizes his employees across the board from one franchise to the other. So he saves a lot of money on the amount of people that he hires to work for the franchises. Because, for instance, in the broadcasting department, broadcasters, the play-by-play guy for the Pelicans is also the sideline reporter for the Saints, and so on and so forth. So you can save a lot of money when you own two teams.
Yeah, because he owns Benson Tower, which is right across from the Superdome. And the Superdome is right across from the arena. So you're not stretching yourself too thin. And I can imagine, you know, with the stadium and the Toyota Center not being too far from each other, you could probably utilize most of your employees that way too.
Well, I mean, and Barry, I don't know what you think about that, but they're not going to take the people that, you're not going to worry about the people that are doing the day-to-day marketing and sales and such. But, you know, in certain ways, they will save a lot on the bottom line in salaries because they'll have people do an extra work. But you still need two full-blown front offices.
Yeah, I mean, and I just hope for the sake of hoping that, and I like Bob McNair, and I don't want him to own the Rockets. I really don't.
The only thing that I would say is why I would want him to own them is so that they'll move. If you can guarantee that they're not going to move whoever owns the team, then I'm happy. But you're right. One is enough for Bob.
Yeah. I want an owner that's going to be a little more shooting from the hip willy-nilly with the money. You know what I mean? Not locked in on a GM that's got nudes out of him and was scared to make moves. I mean, I like Les Alexander because he strikes me as the kind of guy that he's going to do whatever it takes to win.
Yep.
I don't feel that way with Bob McNair. I may be wrong. I might be 1,000% wrong because people that know him know all he cares about is winning. But when you go into a franchise and the number one list on the things that we won't do is hire, quote, bad boys.
That's where I was going. I was just going to say, there's a lot of bad guys in this world that are really good athletes that deserve a second chance. And if
I'm not saying be the Cowboys.
I get that. But at least be open.
Well, you don't give them credit for the Foreman. I don't think they're going to cut Foreman.
Nick, nothing's played out yet. But
I tell you what, if and this is a big if, and so don't take my words out of context, listeners, and start tweeting them. But let's assume that he was found guilty. You don't think Bob McNair's not going to call Rick Smith and Bill O'Brien to the office and say, we can't have guys like that on this team? I mean, he's going to get a stern warning and a, hey, that's one strike. You do it another one and you're gone type of situation. I promise you that. He doesn't want that on this team, and
no,
he never has.
Sir. Nope. You're absolutely right.
I'm not suggesting you turn this into the Cowboys and go out and sign the Greg Hardys of the world, because I thought that was ridiculous too. But, you know, I mean, there's dudes that aren't squeaky clean, but they're good football players. They just, they maybe have a drug charge or something like that, which, I mean, for me, in the grand scheme of things, smoking some weed isn't that big of a deal. I don't care if a football player smokes weed. I really don't. It doesn't bother me a bit, you know?
Especially when you start talking about some of these guys that swear by the fact that it has, health, really good health results because of it, because of the punishment that they take. I mean, you got to be kind of open and sympathetic to that.
Yeah, I'm totally in agreement. And so, let Bob McNair continue to do whatever it is that he's doing to the Texans. Let's just keep it there and not let it bleed into the Astros and the Rockets.
But on that note, did you not find a list that gives us some more possibilities with Houston ties?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact. And I shall read that list for you now, my friend. Okay. Rich Kinder is worth a cool $7 billion. And he comes from pipeline money. Now, four of these folks on this list come from, was it Dan Duncan or Dave Duncan? That's like pipeline money. He's Dan Duncan, the co-founder of pipeline giant Enterprise Products Partners. So siblings, Diana Avara, Scott Duncan, Randy Williams, and Melaine France constitute four of the 12 on this Forbes list, and they all come from Dan Duncan's pipeline money. So keep that in mind. So Richard Kinder, you've got number two is Deneen Avara, who's worth $5.2 million pipeline money.
Okay.
Scott Duncan, $5.2 million pipeline money. Milana France pipeline money, $5.2 million. Randy Williams pipeline, $5.2 million. So that's the first six right out of the shoot, or five right out of the shoot.
$5.2 billion, right?
Yeah, billion. I'm sorry, okay. Am I saying million? Right.
Yep.
My bad.
Yep.
Jeffrey Hildebrand is an oil man. He's worth $4.1 billion locally. Dan Friedkin, $3.6 billion. He owns Toyota dealerships.
Yep, there's your guy.
The Gulf States Toyotas guys. Bob McNair is on this list at $3.5 billion.
Okay.
He's an energy guy. John Arnold, $2.9 billion, made his money in hedge funds. So, okay. And then Tillman Fertitta, $2.7 billion, checks in at number 10. George Bishop, oil and gas, $2.4. Leslie Alexander checks in at 12 on the list at $1.9. Obviously, he's not buying it from himself. So,
right.
That's the top 12 in Houston as far as, you know, Houstonians that live here, I guess.
And so that 1.9 includes the Rockets if he sells it.
Yep.
Especially if he sells it for profit, it goes up a little bit. But Les already with plenty of money. That's why it's just so shocking to me.
So McNair was an energy guy or an oil guy. So it doesn't, I'm not going to exclude all the pipeline money folks, but I think if you look at that list, the two that makes the most sense is the Friedkin, you know, the Gulf States Toyota guy, Friedkin, and Fertitta. I mean, of the wealthiest people in this city, those two would make the most sense.
Well, I agree with you. And again, my main concern now is just having been through this several times, including here in Houston earlier, when I first got to town, but also watching what the Bucks just went through in the Brewers when they were up for sale because people were legitimately scared that their franchise was going to leave. You just want to make sure someone's going to buy it and keep it here. But look, the other thing that you got to keep in mind is that lease that they signed to stay in the Toyota Center and the agreement that they made with the city when they got that arena built and that parking garage has a lot of deep language, so that getting out of that lease just to save the legal mumbo jumbo would be pretty virtually impossible. So I don't think anybody's going anywhere for the foreseeable future because of the agreements that are already in place.
Right. Yeah. No. Boy, you talk about some angry Houstonians if they breaking leases.
Man.
Not good. All right.
So we got one segment left to go before we turn over the show to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. Barry's in Wichita. Nick and I are here in studio, and we are the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5. Life is real slow.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, sometimes you have a whole lot of things planned, and then these kind of things happen to change your entire outlook. The Rockets are for sale. A lot of people still think I'm talking about the general manager of the Panthers being fired, but no. The Rockets are for sale. It's created a stir and a buzz across the city. So I'm sure Fred and AJ will continue to talk about it. But Barry, there were some other things that we didn't get to. One in particular that I can add some stuff to here from a local perspective, but some craziness outside in the world that we live in.
Yeah, dude, I saw this. Traveling a little bit, this made me think, and you traveled forever with the Rockets, I'm sure. But there was this thing where, I guess there was a flight basically where a passenger farted on the flight, and it was so bad, it was making people nauseous that they had to get him off the plane. It says the flight in question had traveled from Charlotte to Raleigh-Durham. According to CBS North Carolina, quote, passengers on the flight became ill with nausea and headaches. The flight, which was not identified by RDU officials, landed at the airport around 4 p.m. When the incident was reported, it said it smelled so bad, they checked it out. All the passengers were taken off the plane, and after the incident was investigated, it was determined that a passenger, quote, passed gas. Now, I've been on a plane when people are farting. I've been guilty of that because even in the article, it says that sometimes, I guess, the internal pressure or the cabin pressure messes with folks, and it makes your body, I guess you have to fart. But, dude, like, how bad is it that you're making people sick? And they don't say whether they found the person that did it, because how are you going to? I mean, I know that smelt it, dealt it is the rule, but it's kind of hard to figure that out on a plane.
Not the rule, but when you're being the reason to turn a plane around.
No, could you imagine?
Oh, you're that like, guy. Yeah, when people aren't going to see their family that night. Landing. Yeah, there's going to be violence involved.
Yeah, but that disgusts me because, like, whenever I'm on a plane like that, it always makes me think, like, when people start farting and coughing and sneezing, I'm just like, oh my God, this is all going in my mouth right now. This is so gross.
United should have just brought their, biggest pilot and just ripped ass, and then he could, they could extract any passenger they want.
Okay, hey,
that, can that I be violent. That would be violent.
We've talked about this before. Is there a topic? Because you said there are certain things that no matter how old you are in whatever situation, there are certain topics that would make you laugh.
Right.
But would that be one of them?
What, farting?
Yeah. Or no, this reading the story. You just read the entire story and you weren't like cackling uncontrollably. And the reason I bring that up is because we had all done our prep this morning and I was getting ready to head to the station and I had the news on as I was getting ready to leave the house, and Channel 2 News was covering this exact story. Sarah Donchi, the anchor, could not deliver the story without literally uncontrollably cackling to the point where she really? Sent it to her co-host and said, here, you read it. And then they had like several other stories to get to. She continued to laugh through the entire segment until they went to break.
Farting in a confined space with my mouth open is no laughing matter. I'm not.
But like,
no.
How old are we? I mean, like, on this like giggle fit that you can't do your job because someone farted in an airplane?
I'm sure that happens to the best of us.
I think it's happened to a lot of people in the audience at your shows. But other than that, I can't see how this could prevent you from doing your job.
Well, I don't know. The other day, there was one I was trying to read, and I couldn't stop laughing, and it had to do with, I think, farting or something like that. So, hey, I'm not going to judge. I'll tell you that. I laugh at some pretty stupid stuff, so I'll be the last one to judge. But this one I thought was funny, but no, it didn't make me, like, laugh out loud.
Now, Nick's done this a lot, the outburst, so I can understand.
Farting in the plane?
Nick, is there anything that you can see that would make you laugh?
I wouldn't claim it.
Now, are you guys farting on a plane? Do you do that a lot?
I would totally tell you I honestly can't remember doing it. But it's not because I've never done it. It's because I really can't remember.
I'm doing it. It's a natural bodily.
It's a natural bodily function.
If it's got to go, it's got
to
go.
Do you go now, to the bathroom or do you do it like?
No, right there. I want to get the reaction from my wife too, because that's part of the fun. I want my wife to be thoroughly disgusted with me, which she is.
Here's what I'll do. I'll get the blanket from them. I'll wrap my. You know, I'll
no,
put
you
it
will
over
not.
Me. Yeah, I'll fart. And then I'll slowly let it out a little at a time.
You know what I mean? Like lift the blanket up. Or are you doing that to make people suffer more?
I'm just trying to dissipate it a little bit. It's like
you're
steam when you cook
up.
Rice. You know what
We've
I mean?
We've had this conversation.
Yeah, but if you check it, it's like rice. You know what I mean? If you just let the lid off all at once, the steam comes out. I feel like if I got the blanket and I just open it a little bit, it won't be as bad for my fellow passengers. I'm doing this out of the kindness of my heart.
Oh, okay. I think you can find kindness in a lot of places. I'm not sure it's coming from there.
The kindness of my fart, maybe?
Yeah,
no?
Exactly. Okay. Like, I'm not, look, I used Hot Pocket last time, and that opened up a whole firestorm, no pun intended. But, I mean, at the same time, if you're wrapping it up and heating it up and then letting it out, it's like,
isn't that,
each time you gradually let it out, it's like a separate fart. So essentially, you're letting like 15 farts out instead of just one big one.
Think of it like a filter, right? Like a coffee filter, like, or something like a water filter. Like when you fart and it has to get through the blanket, it's not as bad. And then
I'm thinking about it as smelly smoke signals. That's what I'm thinking. Well, you're fanning the fumes every time you wave the blanket.
I guess that's one way to look at it. I don't know. I feel like I was doing my fellow passengers a solid by covering it, but all right.
Thank God
Nick. I'm with you. I'll go to the restroom. If I have to pee, I'll just wait. You know what I mean? I won't do it in there. But then you always have that embarrassment of when you open the door and it smells like a rotting corpse.
I can deal with that. There's less passengers there's not as many passengers.
But Nick, in that case, or to both of you guys, really, in that case, when you open that bathroom door, they know it's you. When you let the silent killer out, people can't pinpoint that to you.
That's true. And except the person next to you, right?
Well, and if it's my wife, she doesn't want to be embarrassed as a couple, so she'll keep her mouth shut and just give me a lot of dirty looks and under her breath go, I can't believe you just did that.
Do you think that that our wives like recognize our farts? Like, is it like, are we like you know how like a dog knows?
Speaking
from
the Astros game Saturday night? Yes, absolutely. That is a fact.
It's like you did that with like you have a distinct smell like dogs that track each other. It's like, okay, I know who it is.
I get the side eye and then I get like without moving her lips, are you serious? Just by that time, I'm already just going, I'm laughing. So yeah. Yes, I think my wife knows too.
Because we'll be at the grocery store, you know what I mean? And then my wife will be like, I can't believe you farted on the pasta aisle. And I'm like, that was 3 aisles ago. But yeah, she knows. It's kind of crazy that Nick, they can pick up on that.
Oh, my wife hates it when I fart.
That was wrong.
Yeah.
By the way, Manuel giving us some extra information. Channel 11 is tweeting out that Rocket CEO Les Alexander says he will find a buyer that keeps the team in Houston. So there's a
That's good news.
Yeah.
There's a bit of news. Somebody texted the show and said, my fiance has the smelliest farts that wake me up in the middle of the night. I love her, but holy cow, her farts are legendary.
Really?
I always try to tell women that. Like, girls think they don't fart.
I hate that.
No, they just don't admit it.
But they do it while they're asleep. Yeah, it's a lot of times it's because it's going on while you're sleeping. And it's like, oh my God, I'm sleeping with a lawnmower.
If I could, I would say girls that tell you that they don't fart are full of, because literally they could be. But that is just the biggest farce on the planet. When I've known girls, oh, I don't fart. You're full of it. Yes, you do. No. We all do.
Yes, it's natural, and it's just don't run from it. It happens.
Unreal. All right, Barry. Well, thanks for living in the 5-star, 7 studio location resort that you're in.
Got free food that he won't touch.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
Yeah, thanks. Nope. That we appreciate Nasty. That even more too, because we can't touch it either.
Hey, shout out to my brother, real quick. It's his birthday. Okay. My
happy
brother
birthday,
Shady.
Bro.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Shady.
Shady, happy birthday, man.
Is that on his birth certificate?
Yep, that's his legal name. Everybody asked me that. Yep, that's his real name, Shady.
Your parents named your brother Shady?
Yeah, my brother's name is Shady. My sister's name is Heidi. Yep.
And you're not Nikki?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope, they left the Y out on me.
Why? Never mind. All right, so we'll continue to roll on. That's a Monday in the books. Barry on the world tour. Nick and I back in studio tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. We're the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.